I'll open up you as the Lord leads. You know what? Let's just do this as the Lord leads, okay? You okay with that?
Yes.
If God prompts your heart, Father, we come to you tonight. And Father, we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that first of all, that our brothers and our sisters in Afghanistan are protected by you. And Lord, if they're to be martyred, may your grace overwhelm them to the point where their departure from this world is such an amazing witness to the Muslims that Satan loses this. America may have been defeated in Afghanistan. That doesn't matter in the grand scheme. The true grand scheme is that Satan loses this really big. And he loses big. And that's by souls being snatched from his grip and brought into the bosom of Jesus Christ. And so, Father God, we pray in that name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, the Taliban would bow. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would illuminate even a sunlit sky over Afghanistan now. And Lord, that there would be manifestations of angels. And that, Lord, the most vicious demon-possessed terrorist would hear the voice of Jesus. Father, not too far from there. Out of Jerusalem, heading up into Damascus. It happened to a man who was conducting himself very much like Taliban, Saul of Tarsus, arresting, torturing, beating, killing Christians. And you appeared to him in the bright noonday sun. So, Father God, we're asking you in the name of Jesus, based upon Scripture, it's happened once, it can happen again. Please, dear God in heaven, bring home or bring out our brothers and sisters, your sons and daughters. Father, we pray that you would anoint and bless every bit of diplomatic leverage that is being used right now, which is strange because it's how do you have diplomacy with lunatics? But God, you're God. Lord, you are Lord. And Father, we pray for whoever it is behind this presidency, whoever it is behind this State Department, whoever it is, whatever it is behind this Department of Defense, that you would pull it, Father God Almighty, that you would pull it, because it is evil. It is pure, pure, Christless, godless evil. And God, that you please would remember the covenant promises of this nation's founding. We know, Lord, Bible prophecy. We know all nations must fail for Israel to turn their eyes to you. We get that. We read that. We know that. But Father, you've always left the caveat, and you taught us in many places, and one most profound is Nineveh. No gospel given, no hope possible. In 40 days you die, and they repented. And you withheld. Lord, please spare us. As we cry out to you tonight, we pray for all those who are in peril in Afghanistan. And we pray for the military families, especially, Lord, from what I've been told, three different brigades of the 82nd Airborne to be dropped in and to hear news that we do not have assets in the region to watch over. Unbelievable. Never. Can't think of it. God, you be their defense. You be their covering. You be their cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Lord, hear our prayers tonight as we as a people pray. There's no greater thing we can do tonight than to pray for our brothers and sisters. And we thank you that we get to do that immediately, because in prayer, we're not 8,500 miles away. We're an instant away in prayer. So hear our cry, oh God. Church, let's pray. Don't wait for anybody. God can hear all of us at the same time. Let's cry out and ask the Lord. You ask him to intervene. Church, can you pray? Can you pray specifically right now? There are some 35, 37,000 people held up at Kabul airport. Can you pray specifically? Let's pray specifically for them. Someone, you know how God works. There is someone there who belongs to Jesus, who has the gift of evangelism. Let's pray right now that the Holy Spirit would move on that airport and there would be 35, 37,000 people saved. Can you pray that? Can we do that right now? Let's do that. Father, we pray now for how this spills over, the uncertainty, the unsettledness of those in Iraq. Father, we pray right now for the nation of Iraq and up north, Lord, with the Kurdish people. We pray for friends who are there serving Jesus, that you'd protect them and watch over them. Father God, that you would not allow ISIS to reconstitute itself now that there's no protection or sheriff in town. There's no law, as it were. God, that this demon activity in Afghanistan doesn't now start up in Baghdad, that it doesn't start up in Erbil or something like this. God, that it doesn't arise, Lord, in Amman. Father, we pray in Jesus' name, God, that the church would awaken, Father, throughout the world. Lord, the things that are going on in our world, if somebody doesn't know what's happening, it's because they don't want to know. It's impossible now to not know what's going on. You're very merciful, Lord. You're lifting up every shadow where someone could hide in complacency. You're bringing everything out into the light. It's getting so incredibly obvious that we are in the time of the end. And we have never been closer to the match being struck. And it's not only this horrific loss by the United States and what's going on in the Middle East, but Lord, this global demon thinking of reset, economics, vaccine, borders, governments, trafficking, all of this stuff happening at one time. The destabilization of the world. We just taught on this a couple months ago. I didn't know it happened so fast. But it's crystal clear for us who know you. You're letting man do what he's wanted to do since Adam and Eve took the whole thing into their own hands. This is man in control. And when man doesn't have God, man is demon-possessed. And so, Father God, we pray. And I pray, Lord, right now as a church, we shift, Father, our attention over to Israel. We pray for an incredible outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon the people of Israel, Lord. We know your word, the Bible, tells us exactly what's going to go on with Israel. But in the meantime, Lord, we know that there are more believers in Yeshua now than ever before recorded. And so this is amazing. An amazing time. Father, we take our prayer and we focus, Lord, on the people of Taiwan right now. And Father, there's nobody there now. There's no military. There's no big brother to watch over. There's nothing for China to be held back by. And for that matter, North Korea. We pray for the people of South Korea. Church, let's pray for the people of Taiwan and South Korea who now look at the world scene and their world has been flipped in the last 36 hours. There is no American policy to stand for them anymore. Pray for them. Pray for the South Koreans. Pray for the Taiwanese. Church family, if we're missing a nation, can you just pray or shout that nation out and we can agree with you in prayer. But those of you who, and I know some of you, Ukrainians, Haiti and the devastation with what's happening in Haiti right now, it's unbelievable. Yes, Lord. Yes, God, regarding Cuba, please. Father God. Australia, New Zealand. Father, we pray, Lord God, together as not only a church that's here right now, but a church that's viewing online. So we come together as one before the throne of God. Father, this whole thing, this delusion about masks, my goodness, if it worked, we would be on it. If the science was there, we would be on it. But God, something's wrong. Lord, it doesn't, I hesitate to say it because I don't want to be remotely speculating in this sensitive area, but Lord, it's so senseless. It's almost like it's a test of who can the enemy take out first? Who's the weakest? And it's all around the world and it makes no sense. But people are putting themselves, as it were, in a psychological cage. And God, I pray, we pray against the demonic activity that causes fear to grip a heart. And it's amazing, God, we thank you so much that your Bible tells us that in the last days that men's hearts would be gripped with fear for the things that are coming upon the earth. Jesus, you said that. And today, all around the world, the number one thing is fear. Is fear. And Father, we ask of you, Lord, please, in Jesus' name, that you would cause people to come out of the fog of fear. There's only one thing that can do that. And Lord, that is the gospel. That's the gospel. And Father, intensify the fact. Intensify. Peel, Lord, open up the eyes for all to see that if someone's fearful, what are they afraid of? What are they really afraid of? Why are they afraid? Are they afraid of getting sick? They were never afraid of getting sick before. What's up? Lord, open their eyes to human manipulation, to control. Lord, set them free with truth. And Lord, if people are fearful of getting sick, then that must mean that they're fearful of getting sick and they could die. If that's the great fear, you destroyed that silly thing 2,000 years ago. That you broke the power of death. So if that's the reason why people are afraid, and the gospel's the answer, then the only natural, supernatural conclusion is this is the most evangelistic opportunity that the church has ever had in 2,000 years. We are the only ones that can answer fear. Jesus Christ broke the grave. Jesus busted death. And faith in him takes you from this world into his presence. And we have been duped by Satan to be tempted to fear. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord, that you'd pull the mask off Satan's antics. And people would breathe in and say, wait a minute. There's a God on the throne of heaven. Jesus, I remember hearing somewhere Jesus died and rose again. What am I afraid of? And Lord, your Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 2 that why do the nations rage and they mock the God of heaven? And your Bible tells us in Psalm 2 that you look down from heaven and you mock them. There's going to be a day when you laugh, and it's not going to be because something's funny. You're going to laugh at the calamity of the wicked. You said so. I didn't write that. I didn't make that up. You said it, and you're going to do it. So, Father God, in the midst of all that's going on in the world around us, we pray for supernatural courage. We pray for light. We pray for opportunities. Every single one of us. In fact, friends, listen. This is Wednesday night. We get to do this. There's nobody here but us. Listen, you need to know this. If you're a Christian, the Bible says the moment you believed in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit moved inside of you. Okay? He moved inside. And the Bible says the moment that happened, you became the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's you. That's who you are. Don't think about your physical structure, that you're short or tall, or that you're thin or not. Don't think about that. Think about the fact that if you tonight can say and mean it, that you believe the scriptures, that according to the scriptures, Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, was God incarnate, that is God in the flesh, died on the cross for your sins because he was the sacrificial lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And that on the third day he rose again from the dead. And that Christ went back to heaven and he sent his Holy Spirit to live inside the bride of Christ, which is called the church. And the church is you. It's me. It's us. And if tonight you believe that gospel and your life is Christ, then the Holy Spirit lives in you. But Christian, listen carefully. The Bible is very, very specific on this. The Bible's clear that that happens to you once. When you accept Christ Jesus, the Spirit of God comes inside you one time. He only has to do it once. He never moves out. He comes once, and once he's in, he's in. And the Bible says that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. That means he's not going anywhere without you. That's a biblical doctrinal fact. And so, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is never spoken of as going inside anyone. On the day of Pentecost, it is specifically speaking of the Holy Spirit coming upon you. Very different word, completely. The first word is en in Greek, and it means that he comes inside of you. En. In fact, you can really extrapolate in a way that word out into what is the word enthusiasm. Yeah. In, God dwells in you, the Holy Spirit. Theos, God. God indwelling. Enthusiasm. Asm is movement, is dynamic, is activity. God in you, activity, enthusiasm. And it's only reserved for the believer, truly, if you think of it. It's truly only reserved for the believer, not for the basketball fan, not for NASCAR, not for the Rams. It's for the believer. The God that animates you is inside. But when God wants to use you, he comes upon you. We can't see it physically, but it can be experienced. And the fruit of it becomes obvious. And I'm going to ask you tonight, if you're a Christian, to trust God. I don't care what denominational shenanigans you've come from. All that junk's made up by man. All that stuff. That's why all these good men started all these good things, and they're all in heaven, and they're probably all shocked that the other guy's there. God doesn't, listen, God doesn't, he's not derailed by the peripheral preferences of people. Okay? Truth of the matter is, the Holy Spirit comes upon his people for ministry and for power. And it's, we're running out of time, friends. No more. Starting now at this church tonight, may heaven be our witness. No more spectators. If you're not in the family, get in the family. If you're in the family, then we need to act like it. And we need to pray. We need to stop playing with our toys. We need to get serious. We're running out of time. It's over. I mean, so listen. In your own words, you can start right now as you learn from this exhortation right now. In your own words, according to Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel, Jesus said, if you, humans, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, does not your heavenly Father give good things to you? If your son asks of you for an egg, will you hand him a scorpion? Jesus went on to say at the end of that exhortation, if you ask him for the Holy Spirit, will he not give him to you? So tonight, believers, let's do what happened in the book of Acts. When the disciples prayed and the apostles prayed, the Bible says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Yes. You know, think of that. Right now, we're going to ask God to come and bring his Holy Spirit of power upon us. And listen, it's for ministry. And I know, listen, it's not for running around and climbing up the walls and swinging from the chandeliers. And it's for ministry. Not for you. It's not for me. It's to do the work of God in the earth. And so our hearts may have walked into the sanctuary tonight heavy because of our fellow brothers and sisters and fellow Americans in Afghanistan. We must leave that to the hands of God. We will continue to pray. But what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What am I going to do? What are you going to do? And so we begin here. In this prayer meeting, I ask you, Father, for each and every person here who's your child, to fill them afresh, to come upon them afresh, to empower them afresh, us, with your Holy Spirit. We're not asking you for a scorpion, and we're not asking you for an egg. We're asking you for the endowment of the Holy Spirit's power to come afresh. And Father, we pray that in the hours and in the days and the weeks ahead, whatever you wanted and whatever you intended to do 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost, it would happen to us. Your will be done. And God, that you would take every single one of us and that you would send us to that discussion, send us to that divine appointment, send us to that office, send us to that school, send us, Lord, to that group, send us, Lord, to that phone call, send us, Father, to that cockpit, send us, Lord, to that meeting. But by all means, send us with you. We cry tonight with Moses, we're not going anywhere unless you go with us, Lord. And so, Lord, we pray now, church, in your own words to Jesus, believer, ask him to come upon you with power. Ask him to use you tonight and tomorrow like ways you've never imagined. Expect him to do something radical. Please be desperate before him. These are desperate hours, and desperation for Jesus is the greatest place to be so involved that it's beyond you. You can't do it. That when God gets a hold of you, he'll even make it look easy through you. Because it's not you. You're just willing. Will you talk to him now, church? Talk to him. Ask him. Trust him. Say in your own words, I cannot ask this for you. I can't do this for you. You ask him to come upon you with fresh power. The endowment, some say the filling, some say the baptism, some say the coming upon experience. Okay? Listen, you ask him in your words. Father, Lord Jesus. Brothers and sisters, so you asked the God of all time and eternity. You asked him according to his word to grant to you power to minister in his name. The same way when you asked him to come into your life and to save you as Lord and Savior, remember, wasn't based on any feeling you had. You may have had a feeling, you may not have had a feeling. It's irrelevant. And you just asked him again, according to the scriptures, Lord, will you bring your Holy Spirit's power upon me, upon us? We asked him. And you may or may not have felt something. It's irrelevant. It's all of this thing called Christianity operates in the realm of faith. And the beautiful thing about true biblical faith is that it manifests itself in the physical world. It's not some theory that you sit on a rock and you think about. Faith in Jesus Christ is more active than a nuclear bomb. Faith in Jesus changes the world. And tonight you will leave this place and you will be thinking, oh, we didn't have a Bible study tonight. Well, I came ready. I want you to know. God had another plan. And not some cop-out. I've got 8 full pages of notes and I think 27 verses that I would have going to give you. So I'm not making this up. I think the Holy Spirit wants us to keep praying for Afghanistan. We need to be praying for the souls that Jesus wants to scoop up off this planet before he comes. In fact, I want to end tonight reading you. I was on a radio program today, and the person asked me, what would you like people to hear or to know? And this is what I read. But concerning the times and the seasons, my brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Listen now carefully. For when they say, not you, when they say, it's a big difference. When they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. As labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, you are not in the darkness, so that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Yes. Let us watch and be sober. Vigilant is, I mean, yes, sober too. But he's talking about being vigilant. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. And as a helmet, listen to this, the hope. The word hope here, the hope of salvation, it's so cool. It's not the word, oh, I hope I get saved, or I hope when he raptures me, I hope I go up, I hope. That's not the word. You got to go find some other word. This word is the assurance, the confidence of salvation. It's not a guess. It's not the rolling of the dice. It's not, I hope it all turns out okay in the end. It's not that. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. When he says, Paul says to the Thessalonians, just as you also are doing. It's in the present tense. It means that, hey, Thessalonians, I heard how you guys are encouraging each other about the end, and you're ministering, and you're loving and comforting each other. You just keep doing that. Amen. And that's what I'm saying to you tonight. Amen. Love on one another, no more strangers. Okay? You see somebody skulking out of church tonight like this? Grab them, get their name, tackle them. In the Lord, that is. Love on them. This is the hour for us to shine the light and love of God. And you'll listen, I guarantee you, you ask the Lord tonight to fill you with his Spirit if you intend to be used by him. Yes. And I'm going to end with this, really I am. If you were sincere and honest and you said, Lord, use me, I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Just know this. If you meant that, then you'll be aware of a thing, a moment. You're going to know this is your opportunity. You must step. Yes. Well, maybe I'll pray about it. Don't pray about it. No. Well, let me think about it. Don't think about it. Well, I'm going to call the church. Don't call the church. You prayed, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit's power and use me. When you see it, the thought's going to come into your mind, I ask God to use me. And you're going to be prompted by the Spirit. It's going to feel like this. He's going to go, that's it. Go with him. Watch. Go with him. And you'll know it's him once whatever it is supposed to happen with you. Shortly, moments into it, you're going to say to yourself, I can't believe this is happening. My mouth is moving. I'm telling this person about Jesus, or I'm doing this thing right now in the name of Jesus. And my mind, I'm talking to myself. And I'm giving this guy the gospel, and I'm aware of it. This is not me. And you're going to get so stoked, blown out of your mind, freaked out, happy, glad, that when it's done, whatever it is, if it's changing a tire for somebody along the road, or if it's giving a $5 bill to somebody in the name of Jesus Christ, or if it's getting involved in some white knuckle, whatever it is, God's in it. You're going to know it. And this is the way God rolls. Every time he uses his own people for what he wants done, the one that gets used by God is filled up and energized and can't wait to be used by God again. Completely opposite from the world. Completely opposite than the world. So you go, listen, tonight you go, and I'm dead serious. I'm going to do it. I do it. You know, come live with us for a while. It's a white knuckle life. And you know what the beautiful thing is? Lord, every day, dear God, before my feet, I'm not kidding. I told you guys 1,000 times before I get out of bed, Jesus, please fill me with your Holy Spirit for today's demands. Only you know what they are. And I want to honor you today. So here I go, God, my feet coming out of bed, touching the ground. No, because I tell him this because I'm really telling myself that. I'm reminding myself. And then if the roof caves in after that, or if 5 people come to Christ later that day, doesn't matter. It was him to begin with. Amen. That's the way he rolls. Father, we praise you for tonight. We ask you to be moving. Lord, heal our government, please. Yes, yes. Father, take back America. It's yours. It was your idea in the first place. Nobody thought, we didn't think it up. Our founding fathers, wasn't their idea. It was your idea. You did that. We give it back. We messed it up. It's yours. Here, fix it, please. And Lord, California, Califia. Lord, the shenanigans have started. The manipulation's underway. Lord, let them do as they may, heaping up to themselves wrath in the day of wrath. But Father, we've done everything we could. We've done everything we could. We've come to this point. And for your purposes, you have provided an amazing recall effort where freedom was exercised, liberty was exercised, the law was exercised. It's all legal. It's all afforded to us, and you blessed it. Lord, would you have blessed it to bring it to nothing? Lord, would a pregnancy be 9 months and then come to nothing? We're asking you, Lord, to bring what Lincoln taught us on Sunday, that this nation, that this state might experience a new birth of freedom. And Father, for whatever reason, you have Larry Elder so far out and ahead. He doesn't walk on water. We didn't ask you to provide anybody to walk on water. There's no perfect man or woman running for office. And if we looked for one, shame on us. We were actually putting faith in a man, and that, or a woman, or a man and a woman, instead of you. But Lord, will you do a work that causes all of our jaws to drop, please? We will receive the outcome from you completely, no matter what it is. We will, the day after, we will praise you and we will glorify you and we will walk with you until we walk home to your house, whenever that is. But Lord, I believe my passion in this whole thing is from you. I refuse to give that up. I will not give it up. You want to save the unborn child in California? And I'm a living survivor of one of those people. And I don't think that's an accident. I don't think that is coincidence. And so, Father God, I don't care if a Martian fell out of a spaceship and landed on the state capitol. If that Martian was pro-life, then I'm on board. I believe that you want the death of unborn babies to stop. And God, I'm asking you in Jesus' name to do that by changing our leadership in this state from top to bottom, and changing our courts, and changing our communities, and changing our cultures to be safe again. And if it's not safe for an unborn child, it ain't safe for anybody. But if it's safe for the unborn baby, then there's hope again. Come Jesus tonight. But if you don't, Lord, put our nose to the wheel. Get our hands involved, because we are filled with your Holy Spirit. Let's end in this song of worship. And may you go out tonight in God's grace. And may his Spirit lead you and guide you. And may God's favor be upon you. And may you go in such a way that God works in your life and touches you. And the darkness that you've been wondering about, and why this and why that, and how come him and why she and this and that, that God would show you what's up. Parents, may God show you what the enemy is plotting against your children. Young people, may you wake up to what the enemy is speaking to you, but more clearly, what God is saying to you. Church, be alive, be alert. God wants to do great things. My greatest fear is missing something that he wants to do. May we be at the tip of the spear. We don't need to know what's going to go on. We just want to be there. So God fill you, God bless you, God anoint you, God possess you by his Spirit. And let's give him the praise and the honor right now as we close. In Jesus' name, amen.